You are listening to the You Are Techie Podcast, episode number 148.
Welcome to the You Are Techie Podcast, where it's all about growing in your techiness so you can find the tech job of your dreams. And now your host, technology learning coach, Ellen Toomey.
Hey, moms. Are you trying to break into tech? Are you wondering what skills you really need to get hired and how those skills can be worth $45 an hour instead of the $25 an hour you thought when you first started thinking about going back to work? If so, then the Your Techie membership is for you. Our combination of courses, coaching, and community come with the mentor support you need to keep moving forward in your tech career. It's like no other membership program available. We have the exact skills employers are looking for. You'll learn how to maximize your income with portfolio-ready skills that hiring managers are seeking, not to mention the steps you can skip so you don't find yourself down that endless tech learning rabbit hole. Join me as I walk you step-by-step through the getting hired process in tech. Sign up at youaretechie.com. That's youaretechie.com. I can't wait to see you in our membership.
Helen Meyer is a mother of two boys, a woman leader in tech, and the inspiration for You Are Techie. Helen recently leveled up for yet another time, taking a position as a product operations manager for Total Expert. You can get more on Caitlin's story in our first interview, episode 46, youaretechie.com/46. Caitlin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be here.
It's good to connect. I was like, we have to schedule a podcast just so we can connect and catch up. And then we both have new houses. Lots of changes. So we'll have to just keep doing this. It'll have to be a regular thing just so we make sure we reconnect.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it. Okay, so you've leveled up and I want to get like a perspective for people. So, and basically just like your new perspective, looking at your career journey, what are the highs and the lows that kind of stand out to you? And, you know, why did that matter to your journey?
Oh, gosh. All right.
Let's dive right in, huh? You need an easier one? What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Ooh, chocolate chip cookie dough.
Favorite.
I love it. All right. I guess the easiest place to start is let's start with the lows, because then it's always easy to build up from that. When it came to the lows, like, it's been very interesting for me because each time I've leveled up or kind of moved ahead, it always means more learning, which for me, I love to learn and that can be a lot of fun, but it can also kind of give you that whole imposter syndrome, right? Of like, am I really good enough?
Oh my gosh, you made a horrible mistake. Why did you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of it, when it came to the skills and the ability, like, those were never a question for me. It was always a mindset game, right? So being really gentle with yourself on that journey, I think it's really important. But for me, it's always a continuous process of self-improvement. Like, some days I really have to hype myself up and be like, you are good enough. You do have the skills. You know you have the skills. Like, fake it till you make it. But then those can lead to some of the highest of highs. Like, even, you know, yesterday, for example, I'd gone on a run, and you know me, running is where I think probably the clearest that I think throughout the day.
And I want your advice. I'm like, here's the question for post run. That's what I,
yeah. The post run. Yeah. But I had gone for a run and I was planning this whole speech in my head of that, what I was going to talk one-on-one with my manager about of how things just aren't clicking. I was having a lot of frustration that I wasn't getting things together. They were kind of, you know, I was trying to process through a lot. And then I had gone into this meeting, and after this meeting, a different meeting than with my manager, I had ended up getting three different compliments from three different departments. And so the nice thing about that is they were all validating work that I didn't think was being seen. And so it was a good way to be like, oh, I might have been really critical about this and I could have been beating myself up about it, but everyone else sees it and appreciates it. And so it was just kind of that whole confidence boost. And in some ways, almost being really cocky about it. Of like, yeah, I got this.
Oh, yeah.
Make a good choice. Some days are very scary because you're like, what did I get into? What am I doing? And other days, it's just an exciting adventure. So, yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Okay. This one is like more just really an opinion and something that I kind of want to think about and talk about. And I'm curious what you think about it. But, you know, a lot of women think about getting into tech. They think about breaking in. They join boot camp. They join our program. They buy books, whatever it is. They're like, I think this is what I want to do. And some of them make that transition. And then some of them never do make that transition. And like, in your opinion, what do you think is the difference maker? Or what do you think the people who make that transition do differently than the people who don't?
That's a tough question.
Oh, back to ice cream.
Yeah, let's go back to ice cream. Oh, I would say to me, and again, it's just my perspective, right? So it could be wrong or right, or it is what it is. But I think tech is always something you have to be willing to just learn. And it's a continuous learning process, right? You're never going to go to work one day and just be like, I have all the answers. And if you're okay with that, then I think tech is the right place. You know, it's easy. But some people want to get into tech and be like, I know every language of code. And tech's just not that. Tech's always just continuously improving, continuously getting better. You're never going to have the right answers. You're just not.
I think you're so right. So like when you were saying that, it's like you have to understand that you live in this state of ambiguity. That's where it is. And you have to know enough to like, be able to problem solve and figure it out. But it's not like you're going to be thrown a problem and then, oh, you already know how to solve it. It's like mostly new stuff and you've just done other stuff kind of like it, but you have to be comfortable in the ambiguity.
Yeah. And comfortable enough to ask questions too, you know, because there's still days. Yeah. It's always funny because my manager will tell me, I need somebody who can speak tech in non-tech ways. And so I always look at one of my favorite lines that I'll say to my developers is, all right, can you speak English to me now? Now that they've got all the tech jargon now, it's like, that's great. I know you're smart and I know you get it. I just need you to tell me in like layman's terms what you just said, which can be in some ways when you're just starting a tech journey, like that can feel a little bit overwhelming. But you know, like all of a sudden you get all this new lingo thrown at you or you're interacting with these different systems. It can be kind of frightening and challenging at first until you start to learn just how to ask questions and realize that no question you're going to ask is going to be a dumb question. Like nobody gets mad at me for saying, what did you just say? Can you explain that to me?
Right. Like have you ever been yelled at for asking a question? Has anyone ever been or made fun of or like, that was a dumb question. Have you ever had that one time happen?
No, I've actually had the opposite. I was once told that my superpower is being able to ask good questions. And it was funny when that was said to me because I was like, that's not really my superpower. That's my, I don't understand.
Right.
But people love it. And it helps process through thoughts too.
Right.
Right. So a developer, when they're explaining it to me, then all of a sudden, like, oh, but we didn't think about it. When I was thinking about it in code, I didn't think about this step. And so now we got to rethink that. All just by saying, can you explain it to me?
Yes. I think that's so interesting and so hard to explain to somebody breaking in how valuable it is to have a technical background and be able to speak in layman's terms or to have some technical knowledge and be able to like bridge that gap. It's so valuable and it's like hard to explain how valuable that is, but people really need that, right? Because we're being fast and it's a big deal. And to be willing to ask, you know, the quote unquote dumb questions actually is how you get smart on that.
Oh, yeah.
This is such an interest. I'm really interested in this answer because like I have my perspective of kind of going through this process. Like, obviously, as an outsider, because it's your process. But I want to talk about job search and interviewing and level up. And like, what did it feel like to go through job searching last time versus this time? And then what I asked you last time, was it worth the effort, pain, and time? Compare and contrast those two for us so we can understand kind of what that experience was like.
Okay. So last time interviewing, and I don't know how many rejections I had gotten before getting hired at my previous job. So it was really painful to go through interview after interview and get rejected. And then once I got into my project management job, really learned a lot about different roles in tech that I didn't quite know existed. Learned more about what the roles meant. I learned more about some of the jobs that I'd been applying for weren't necessarily jobs that I would have been happy in, but I didn't know that because I didn't know enough about tech, you know?
That's super interesting.
Yeah. Because like, I didn't know the difference. Like in my mind, I was a project manager, right? But I had learned in my experience the difference between being an internal project manager versus a client-facing project manager. You know, nobody had talked me through, there's internal and external.
They don't talk like, about it like that. They don't even post the job that way. They don't even say, like, they don't post the job that way. And yet it's two completely different jobs.
Exactly. So when I had gotten hired, I was internal. And I was realized that the more and more I was internal, I loved to be internal facing. And I didn't want to necessarily work with clients. Not that I don't like clients or I don't like people. I just like to be able to focus on the business aspect of that, right? And help build a business up. And so then to get to the job that I'm at now, so I even shifted roles. I went from project management to product operations manager. And that is a big shift in itself. So to go from focusing on a project to focusing on a product is a big shift. To even shift industries is a little bit overwhelming at first when you're kind of navigating a new field and everything like that. But what I will say is that this job, I had to go through the interview process, but it was somebody else that I had worked with who had reached out to me about this role and said, hey, I know your background. I know your experience. I know your skill set. I think we should talk. And so it was a very different experience this time because I wasn't searching.
And you didn't even apply for this job originally.
No.
Someone reached out to you, someone in your community. I mean, if only I ever talk about that, right? I already knew.
Yeah.
You guys, it's like I paid her to do the story. Right? Like, hey, Caleb. So actually, I didn't even know that part. I actually didn't know that. So you just told me that.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that piece about it. But that's so crazy. And this would be a good question, but it's even crazier than I realized. I mean, you had all these rejections built up, but basically you're like, yeah, but if I would have understood where I align, then you had been with your previous company for 7 years. It's hard to like transition and break out. And it wasn't a traditional tech company. You were just in the tech department. And so then that was different. It was like an old guard industry. So then you didn't have the latest tech. And so then you were trying to transition. And it was like, you just kept missing the mark. But then when you hit it big, you had a great, your last job was great. And then this one, you weren't even looking for it and somebody reached out to you.
Right.
Nice. I mean, that's crazy different, isn't it?
Oh, it was so crazy. And that was the thing. I mean, it's fun because it's been a journey, right? So you really get to appreciate where you're at because of where you've been. And I can remember, like, there were numerous times that I didn't even think I would be able to work from home. I mean, I remember you talking, me and you were talking about remote positions before, and I was like, you're nuts. Nobody lets you work from home. And then actually, I'm sitting in my office at home, and my boys were just like, congratulations, mom, you get an office.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah. And so, you know,
you've always worked remote. Like, you were worried you weren't. I mean, as long as I've known you, you've worked remote, like for like a long time.
Been almost a decade. But I mean, I remember like feeling like remote jobs weren't even a possibility when I first started working. And now, you know, it's just been a journey to even be like, yeah, if you're not offering remote, I don't think you're really worth my time.
Right. Like, that's what kind of good for you. I mean, and we had the whole, like, global pandemic that kind of, like, solidified remote work for people. I think forever there will be people who go in the office, but there will always be people who work remotely. Do you remember that one interview you went on? I use this example a lot because this blew, I don't even know if you remember this, but there was one interview you went on. I don't even remember if you got the job, that they didn't even talk about remote work. Like, you thought it was in office. And then when you went in, they were like, yeah, you have to come in once a week or once a month or something. I don't even remember, something crazy like that, even though they didn't post remote work on the job. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That was actually my previous job. Yeah. And it's actually even funny with this job that I have now, because they consider me remote because where I live and where the office is about an hour apart. And so they're just like, you don't need to come into the office. Like, it is nice when you come in and you see people and you build that rapport with team members and stuff. So obviously, like, anytime, you know, we have team members coming into the office from out of town, I will make an effort to go in and see people. And, you know, when we have like team building experiences as well, I'll go in because I want to be a part of those. But the expectation is, like, as long as you can get your job done and you can work from home, you know, there's no expectation to go into an office.
Wow. The way that you're talking about it, it's like, yeah, I mean, I can go in if I want. Like, I guess you're a member, but like, some of the angst that people who are trying to break in, they're like, well, what if I can't find a remote work? And it's like, okay, no, they really just want you to be in a good position to work well and, you know, be able to participate fully at a level that helps the company. It's like not always the most important thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's really funny because I even remember like where I started now when I was talking to somebody, I can't remember. And he's like, oh yeah, sometimes when I just know I just need to listen to a conversation, I'll bring my phone and I'll listen to it as I'm walking my dog. Fantastic. Yeah. Like, that flexibility. Well, it's a whole new world when you start thinking about, well, one, the pandemic and how much that's opened up people's schedules and flexibility and stuff like that. But it allows people to even work best as they work best. You know, some people can't sit at a desk all day.
Right.
And so they need to, like, get up and think. So maybe that's they're listening to a course, or they're taking a training, or they're listening to a meeting, and they're like pacing around their room because that's how they work best and that's how they operate. Or, you know, I really am more productive in the morning than I am by like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just my brain is firing better. So to be able to get up at home and go right away into work at like 7 a.m., I'm knocking more stuff off my to-do list between 7 and 9 than I will from like 4 to 10 p.m.
Right. Some people, as you're like talking to us, I'm like, some people need to do yoga too, because I was just moving my yoga mat when we started, and I was laughing how we used to do yoga in the office. Because which we worked remotely, but it was like once a quarter we had to go in. And so, yeah, we would do yoga. And I mean, we would check that no one was looking, but we would. I think it's good to not sit all the time. And I think a lot. I don't do that as much anymore. Do you still do that? You like get up and do yoga?
I usually go running on my lunch break. It's usually my thing.
I need to get up and do it. I do it in the morning, but I don't always do it during the day. During the day. Okay. Let me know if you do that. So because of what you said earlier, like, you didn't even know the difference between internal and external. This isn't exactly that question, but what I would like you to do is explain your day-to-day, because your title was IT project manager. And just to be clear, that was internal, and internal is different than external, and IT is different than normal project manager. Like, there's all these different things. Your job as an IT project manager before versus your job now, product operations manager. Just explain the difference so people can understand two more jobs in tech that are opening up for them.
Okay.
Super easy.
I'm just trying to think about how to best summarize it. So internal.
Or give a couple examples of your day-to-day. That's another way to go about it. Whichever
way. So internal IT project manager was I was helping to make sure the company could function better by doing IT projects, right? So my job was to make sure that any new system we were implementing or any new business process we were putting into place allow all the team members to function smoothly and efficiently. So there were things that I worked on, like certain projects that I worked on, it revolved around their HR system and helping to get all of that coordinated and done. The one thing I will say is, you know, in project management, you do operate on deadlines a lot. You have a project, it has a certain time frame to get done. One of the things that I learned as I was getting my PMP is projects are temporary, right? Projects should never be ongoing. They should have a beginning date and an end date. And then you move to the next project. So it's a very transitional type project where you kind of roll off one project into a new one, off one into a new one, which means that there's a new set of stakeholders in it. But it's fun in that regard. So a lot of my projects were always very different, whether it was running day-to-day sprint, you know, to help us operate better because we were still an IT team and we still needed to get IT operations done. Otherwise, I worked on things like upgrading from one version of an ERP system to a new version of it. You know, what does that entail to get one system moved into a newer version of that system? And then all the different things related with that, right? So coordinating schedules, writing status reports, keeping the stakeholders informed, you know, kind of managing projects and team members that way. Now I moved into product. And so that means that I work on pieces of software that we create ourselves. So I'm involved in everything. Like one of the things that I just am working on right now is betas. And so I'm helping to coordinate how to get the users into our system, collecting that feedback, analyzing that feedback, and then helping to get that feedback into our sprints so that we can make new releases for them. I'm helping our program manager do releases, right? Just got done with our fall release. And so, you know, now we'll be looking at how do we do our winter release and what are the elements that go into that. I'm also helping with sprints still and putting stories in there. One of the things that I'm doing a lot more of in this role that I didn't do in my other role was looking more at analytics and research. So I've been working a lot analyzing customer feedback and seeing how we can implement some of those enhancements across multiple teams. And, you know, a product never ends. It just iterates, right? And so the fun thing is, like, the product's not going anywhere, but the way we add enhancements to it and stuff, that's kind of more of the project-based side of this. So there are things I can take from my other role and apply to here. So, like, we want to make this new feature available. So how do we plan that? How do we coordinate that? How do we communicate with our internal stakeholders and our external stakeholders? That's all stuff that was in my previous role, but then there's new things that I'm learning of. How do you coordinate with the design team? How do you do the internal testing and the external testing? And there's a lot more UX involved in this one than there was in the previous.
I think that's such a brilliant explanation, how you talked about project and product, which are two words that are so similar and yet so different. And they mean so many different things for your job and your day to day. And it's not that if you do one, you can't do another, but I just love what you said. I feel like there's such high value. So if you guys missed what she just said, go back and listen to it again. She really explained so well how a project has a beginning and an end and a product has iterations. It just keeps iterating and going and going. And that's so important. I mean, my students struggle with that because they're like, well, it's not perfect. And I'm like, oh, guess what? It never is.
It never
is. Just keep iterating. We just call that, that's version one. And then I'm like, can it be version one? And then that seems to work really well. But I think that was a great explanation.
And you have a great perspective having both of those experiences.
That was awesome. I love that.
Okay, what do you like best about your job? And then what do you find most challenging?
I think the most challenging thing for me right now about my job is just learning more about the industry. It's a very different industry. It's a finance tech industry. So I'm learning a lot there that I never had been exposed to before. And one, that's exciting to me because I like to learn more and more. So it's fun to get new knowledge and figure out how things operate. But it can be challenging at the same time, too, because you're just like, when do I just not have to learn anymore?
But I just want to know it all, right?
Yeah.
Just remember to be authentic and inspirational. That's what I told you at the beginning.
That's for real. Like, yeah. That's what makes it interesting and exciting and when you're in tech. And then sometimes it's exhausting. Sometimes they're like, if I just knew this already, it'd be so much easier.
Right? If I just knew it all. But then I think some of the things that I really like about my job, I will say that tech people seem to have such a fun personality. We all collaborate really well. We all get along well. And so the team atmosphere is great. And I would say, too, it's fun because it's fast moving and fast paced. So, you know, my day to day is never the same, which for me, I love. And I would say, too, the flexibility of my job is something that I really enjoy and I really love. And I love being part of the creative process. Like, it is fun to say, here's a set of ideas with requirements. Let's see what you guys can do with it. To all of a sudden, to the point that we're getting to an end and we're testing it with users. That's a really cool process to be a part of.
I love that. I love breathing life into ideas that, and then they like become something in the world. I think that's so fun.
Okay.
Last question. I've already asked you this one, so it'll be curious. We'll compare. We'll see if you have the same advice. But like, what advice would you give to a woman, especially a mom who's thinking about breaking into tech, but she's maybe feeling some of that imposter syndrome and not sure she can do it? What advice do you have?
I would say my advice would be that be gentle with yourself on the process. It's really easy to think that you don't have the right skills or you aren't qualified to be there or you don't know it all. So why even try and challenge yourself and apply for that role? I had a lot of people around me who supported and believed in me, even when I had a hard time believing in myself. And I leaned into those people for support. And sometimes I just was like, all right, let's go with it. You guys think I can, so I'll just try it. And I had to get very uncomfortable before I could be very comfortable. And those uncomfortable moments were the times I had to be the most gentle with myself, but it was the time I learned the most and that it just brings out of me into the next level, right? And all of a sudden, all of that over time built into this career that I have and this confidence in myself that I didn't know existed. But each time I knew I was going through a transition, each time I knew I was going to be learning a lot, each time I knew it was going to be challenging, I just had to remind myself to be gentle as I was on that journey. That I couldn't beat myself up because I didn't know an answer, or I couldn't beat myself up because I didn't understand the system, or I didn't know the industry. I had to kind of go back to that whole growth mindset, you know, where it was, it's not that you're doing anything bad. It's not that you're inadequate. It's just a chance for you to grow and continue developing. There's always that saying, it's progress, not perfection. I'm always a work in progress. So I would just remind people to be gentle as they keep progressing and learning the next thing and taking the next step.
Be gentle. I love it. Caitlin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, if you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you have to sign up for the You Are Techie email list. Imagine being in the tech job of your dreams. Join me to get the strategies, training, and never-ending support to get hired. Sign up at youaretechie.com. That's youaretechy.com. I'll see you next time.